Good afternoon, brethren. I'd like to talk today about the concept of brand identity, of a brand and brand identity. The church is fasting today so that, within this window of time, may not be today. Many of you are fasting today. Some have already completed a fast. Some will be starting a fast. But within this plus or minus two-day window, the church is fasting today. And we're fasting so that we can draw closer to God because there's so that we develop a sense of urgency and so that we, quite frankly, prepare our hearts and our lives and our minds for whatever work that the church, that God has for the church to do. I want to talk a little bit about brand identity and brand value because that's been on my mind today. I was visiting with a person from another church area this week at my house, and we got to talking about all these subjects, about the church doing this, the church doing that, and what the church has done in the past. And we kind of cooked it down that what the church has had maybe in the past more than we have now and needs to have again is brand identity, And I want to talk a little bit about that. Because you and I have a role to play. And I'll say this. This is not a sermon about what the home office needs to do. This is a sermonette about what you and I need to do. Everybody see that? 13-ounce block of brick of Folgers coffee. Okay? The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. You got it. Remember that? And this is grown at a particular place. This is blank grown. What is it? Mountain grown. Okay. And for some of you to show your age, what was the name of the lady that used to always tutor the young housewife about coffee? And she'd pull it down and explain to her why her husband didn't like her brand of coffee, and she'd always try to give him Folgers. What was her name? You remember? Mrs. Olson. Remember Mrs. Olson? Mrs. Olson. She was she was committed to the Folgers brand. I mean, it's a commercial, but. Can of Libby green beans. This is all stuff off my end of the world shelf, as we call it, my house. Some of you have seen it. A friend of mine says that the nuns have their own store. If you have anything, you can go there. Cut of Libby green beans. If it says Libby, Libby, Libby on the label, finish the saying. Oh, you will like it. You will like it on your table. Anybody remember that from 25 years ago? All right. Campbell's soup. It's okay. All of these products that I've shown you, the Folgers and the soup, they've all got what I would call a brand, and they've also got what I call brand identity. Now, I'm not a marketing guru. I haven't looked any of this up in any textbooks or anything, but I would submit to you that every one of these products has both a brand and brand identity or notoriety or brand fame is what I might call it. Definition of a brand is a special kind of variety. The word variety tells us that there's more than one product available, and that to have a brand, you've got to be a special kind of variety. The definition also says that a brand has an identifying mark or label on the products of a particular commodity. All of these do. We've got Campbell's has got their registered trademark there. If you come out with a brand of soup that says Campbell's on it, you will hear from Campbell's lawyers. Probably if you come out with a brand of soup that's in a can like this, that's printed in cursive writing like this, you may hear from their lawyers. People are very jealous of their brand and their marks and their trademarks of their brand. Definition also calls it the kind or make of a commodity. Folgers is a kind of coffee which is a commodity. Let me ask you, did the early church have a brand, and did they have brand identity? I would submit to you that they did, and I can give you what I would think are at least two positive examples, or one positive example of each. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts 24. In verse 14, it says, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Notice what the speaker here is talking about. He's confessing to somebody what he believes, and he says that he confesses to you that according to the way, that he worships according to the way. There's a name for the people that he identified with. You remember in some of the other sermons and in Bible lessons we've had, that the early church, that sect was sometimes referred to as the way. Here the speaker, I think it's Luke, is communicating that, hey, the way I worship is like those people called the way do. And he also says that they're a special kind of variety. They've got special ingredients or special formula, and that they believe all things which are written in the law and the prophets. There is your and I brand right there. That's the brand that you and I want to be. You and I want to worship God and believing everything that is written in the law and in the prophets. And of course, we would submit that we would also say that if you believe it, you will do it. But there is the brand identity of the early church. And this is the same brand that you and I want to have. We want to be known for believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. Let's look at brand identity, or brand fame is what I might also call it. Example of the church having some brand fame or brand identity is in Acts 28, verse 22. Says, "But we desire to hear from you what you think for concerning this sect." Remember, the way was called a sect that we just read about. "We know that it is spoken against everywhere." It is spoken against everywhere. The early church had some brand identity because it was spoken against everywhere. Now, that means that if it's spoken against, people had heard of it. Well, you and I want to have a brand identity, a brand fame, and brand identity as well. Now, I made my wife laugh this morning when I was giving her a rundown of the sermonette. This bottle of taco sauce is, in my opinion, kind of like the United Church of God. I have about 19 of these on my shelf. This is the El Pato taco sauce. It's written in Spanish and English. And it is the best taco sauce, in my opinion, it is the best taco sauce out there on the market. It's better than anything you can find anywhere. You know where it's sold? It's sold at Big Lots, which is where they sell stuff that didn't sell anywhere else. I buy this at Big Lots for, I don't know, 33 cents a can, 25 cents a can. Crest Foods also has it in Edmond. But I would submit to you, it's the best taco sauce. It's the preferable taco sauce, in my opinion, over anything else. But you don't know very much about El Pato brand salsa de jalapeno. It's a jalapeno sauce. The reason you don't is because it doesn't have any brand identity. It's just not famous. But it should be, but it's not. United Church of God should be more famous, but we're not right now. Now, if you call up the El Pato people and talk to them, I'm sure they'll tell you, Mr. Nunn, we'd love to be worldwide, but it costs money. It costs money to market your product. Now, give an example of a company that's got brand and brand identity, Coca-Cola. What's its logo? It's the real thing. You can go around this world and buy Coca-Cola. Me and the Cleavers have seen this written in Farsi, Coca-Cola written in Farsi, but it's Coca-Cola. And I'm sure you'll hear from their Arab lawyers if you infringe it in Jordan. I'm sure you'll get a letter. This is what we want the United Church of God to be. We want it to be like Coca-Cola. Whether you like Coca-Cola or not, You know, when you see this brand in this can, the way this is packaged, we know all about that product and what it tastes like, what its attributes are. And that's what we want to be. Now, how do we do that? Well, the home office, I believe, is, whether they use the word brand or brand identity, I think that that's what we're trying to do. We've got a logo. It's right here. We may have some other logos. Maybe we'll have more logos later on. We have a logo. The El Pato people, they have a logo. They've got a mallard duck on there. I can look for the mallard duck. United's got a slogan. Need it, you know, like Coke's got, it's the real thing. Our logo is, our slogan is preaching the gospel, preparing a people. So we've got some of the, we've got a brand. And you and I are, we believe everything and try to live by everything that's written in the law and in the prophets. The United Church of God has brand, kind of like this taco sauce, but it doesn't have brand identity. So in the days ahead, I would submit to you that whether the home office calls it brand or brand identity, and whether they go and take the whole $5 million out of the reserves and try to blow it on consultants to come in, and you could spend probably millions maybe with on people that could come in and tell you how to develop a brand and brand identity. I hope we don't do that, but I hope we develop something that looks and smells and operates like brand and brand identity. I have high hopes that the media center will take off and that we'll preach the gospel in a greater way. But whatever the home office does, there's a couple of things that you and I can do to have brand, to push our brand, to have brand and brand identity. First of all, we've got to distinguish ourselves and make sure we don't adulterate our brand. If we start messing around with the ingredients of this taco sauce, all of a sudden it doesn't taste quite the same, doesn't operate quite the same, doesn't have the same appeal. It's not the same stuff as what the label says. Quite frankly, to cut this sermon short, sin adulterates our brand. If our brand is to believe everything that's written in the law and the prophets, when you and I sin and act out in public or have bad attitudes or curse or laugh at dirty jokes, on and on and on, be negative like I was being earlier this week. I caught myself being negative. We kind of adulterate the brand a little bit. We kind of weaken the brand, and we need to push our brand. Some positive things we can do to market our brand is things like coming to church. You know, quite frankly, I have thought every day, every time that I come to church, I have to go out there in my suit at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and raise my garage door up and down. And I hope that one day one of my neighbors will ask me, "Where do you guys go every day on Saturday? You go in the office or something? Where do you go? You go out there and you're up and down your garage door in a suit." You know, I don't know. Maybe that's a way in my mind that I'm promoting my brand because I'm keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath carefully in front of the world is a big brand promoter, because that's the one of the things that we do in this sea of religious products that are floating downstream that is different about us, the Sabbath and the holy days. Let me submit this to you. As we try to develop brand identity on a more concentrated effort, maybe through the home office with the media center and all the other programs we're doing, think about this. What about our own radio broadcast? How often do you listen to it? What radio station is? Could you write on a piece of paper what time it's on, what radio station it's on, where it is on the dial? It's on 740 a.m. KRMG at 8 o'clock Sunday mornings. We ought to be listening to it. That is a way for us to send other people to that radio broadcast. Because quite frankly, I will tell you, when I tell people I go to United Church of God, they ask me, "What church you go to?" Well, I go to United Church of God. And they're like, "Oh, I can see the light go off." They don't know who we are. And I don't know that sending them to the radio broadcast is going to be the be-all and end-all, but it's a start. It's a way for them to start developing some brand identity with us. Well, I hope I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it up. I hope that maybe through this sermonette you have kind of come to understand the importance of having a brand and having brand identity, brand notoriety, perhaps knowing the difference. I think we can recognize that United Church of God has a good brand. We're made of good stuff. We have good ingredients. What we do lack is a worldwide, at this point, we're not worldwide like Coca-Cola is. Coca-Cola wants this product to fly off of the shelves. We want the world, we're not selling our product like Coke. We bought their can of Coke for them. We want them to consume our product, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ.